So, Collision was a thing this weekend. 3 hours of AEW was a thing this weekend. The draft was this weekend, and stuff happened this weekend.
Yeah, I feel like they've been doing a lot of like 3 hour AEW lately over the weekend.
Well, that's not going to stop because they're doing a 3 hour Dynamite Rampage next week.
Okay.
This has all been a little swerve that they've been doing with this little thing that people don't even seem to pay attention to, that they're slowly adding 3 hours to AEW and no one's paying attention to it.
Yeah.
It's really easy to see that they've been doing this. This is the fourth week and we're going on a fifth week and it's just, hey, we're packaging Rampage into this. And people are saying, oh, it's because of football, basketball, it's because of this, it's because of that. No, there's more to it. There's more to it than this. This is a tryout run to see how this is going to work. And because people don't pay attention, they just go, oh, it's perfectly fine. They don't care. Like they're not even paying attention. It's like, oh yeah, they're just giving us Rampage. It's like, no, it's more to this. But it's okay.
Watch when it happens, like when it's permanent, no one's gonna complain. Well, I won't say no one, but you know how that shit is.
No. That's the funny part. People are going to complain when it becomes permanent because they're going to be like, oh my God, a 3 hour version of AEW, but you've been watching it for months, not even noticing that it's a 3 hour AEW every week. And then when they officially say it's a 3 hour AEW, people are going to get in their feels and be like, oh my God, I can't believe they made it a 3 hour show. It's like, no. It's always been a 3 hour show. You just haven't been paying attention.
I'd be okay with it either way. I'm already used to it, so.
I'm used to it, but I don't like it because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's really dumb. It doesn't make any
Yeah.
sense. It makes no sense at all. It's dumb as hell. Because everybody complained about 3 hours of Raw, and then they're like, no, this is better wrestling, but it's still 3 hours. It's 3 hours, and you have Rampage. Rampage is always shit. Like,
Yep.
I don't get it, but whatever. Swerve came out and had his championship celebration quotes. And he's basically talking about how he did it and how he finally beat Joe, and Joe was a great champion. And now it's my turn to be a great champion, and I'm going to take AEW to new heights. And then he said, I'm just waiting for a challenger. But this is what didn't make any sense to me. He says he wants a challenger. But he's getting a challenger on Dynamite. He's getting a challenger on Dynamite. It said the first challenger for Swerve title at Double or Nothing will be announced on Wednesday. That's exactly what they said. This isn't like they just popped it up just moments ago. At the end of Dynamite, they said, yeah, Swerve challenger will be announced next week. That's exactly what they said. So this made no sense. And then Claudio came on and said, I want to fight you. They said, okay, we'll have a match for the belt tonight. And I'm just sitting there like, but you wanted a challenger for the title. You get a challenger for the title tonight, but that's not your challenger for Double or Nothing. Like, oh, okay. I'm not complaining
Yeah,
because
like
it.
he literally said that he wanted a challenger and whatever, and like they're gonna give you one, but then you got this one. So, yeah, I'm with you on the confusion.
Yeah, it made no sense. It was a little disjointed, and it was like, oh, okay, whatever. That's a thing. So then they showed the backstage, not backstage, the stuff where Tony Khan got beat up in a neck brace. He went on NFL Network with the neck brace. They interviewed him with the neck brace, and he basically said, "Well, you have to watch the show to find out how my condition is." Okay, cool. Don't really care. He was on mainstream NFL with the neck brace. Everybody knows what AEW is. They know he took a pile driver. They know he's injured. Publicity for AEW. It worked.
Yeah.
So then we had the Guns versus Top Flight Security. Well, actually, Bullet Club Gold versus Top Flight Security. And I mean, nobody thought that Top Flight was going to win.
Basically.
Like, the Bullet Club Gold just won the titles. And it's very funny to me because, once again, it's always stuff that people don't fucking pay attention to. And Jay White hit this sick-ass Blade Runner, and people are like, oh my God, he hit the craziest Blade Runner I've ever seen. It's like, yeah, because you got to stop watching New Japan, and you just, like, don't remember what he can do. It's like, fine. He's been doing craziest Blade Runners ever since he's been in Japan. Like, this isn't new. Like, when I seen this, I just was like, oh, okay, yeah. It's just a Blade Runner from Jay White. It's nothing.
Like, he wasn't fazed.
Yeah, it's like, I've seen this, like, a million times. It's like, whatever. Don't really care.
Yeah.
And I just seen a bunch of people go crazy, like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Like, they should push Jay White. And it's like, bitch, we've been complaining about them pushing Jay White for months, for years. Like, this isn't... Like, you guys just remembered who the fuck he was. It's fine. And also, I'm really pissed off at the fan base that seen a snippet of a match. A snippet of a match that happened in New Japan. And they totally have had the wrong take because, you know, they want to defend AEW to the death and make it a thing. It's like, yeah, you know, that doesn't make any sense because what you're saying makes no sense. Because there was a Rural Revitalization match with Great Okan and Yuya Uemura. It's basically the weirdest thing that you could do because Great Okan has been doing this when he defended the King of Pro Wrestling title. It's just he does the most randomest shit, and then at the end you have a match. So Yuya Uemura beat Great Okan, and now he's the King of Pro Wrestling champ, which is basically a match where you just pick a bunch of stipulations. So one of the stipulations in that match was you have to eat lemons. And the clip surfaced online, and everybody's like, oh, I'm glad I don't watch New Japan anymore. This is what New Japan has come to? Like, no wonder everybody's so mad about New Japan. And it's like, no, you watch one match that you have no context for, it's way out of context, and you just watched it, and now you're complaining, talking about, oh, New Japan sucks so bad now, I'm glad I stopped watching it. It's like, no, you suck. Like, this is just out of context. It's clearly out of context, but you're just complaining about it and saying, yeah, I'm glad TK stole all their people. It's like, you really are just going to say that. Just straight out of context, have no idea what this is, nothing about it, and just goes, yeah, no, they suck now. Good for them. Like, okay. I hate that.
That's that weirdo shit. Just by one match, or not even one match, one clip.
Yeah, it's the AEW fan base. It's like, it's really, really bad. It's been a lot of stuff going on with that fan base that's has really fucking been broken this week. And it was a video that was put up by, not even going to say who they are because I don't even give a fuck about them. They put out a video talking about how WWE is doing this whole PR thing and all of these so-called journalists and podcasters are bowing down to WWE and they have to do this for that. And a lot of AEW fans immediately gravitated to that. I'm not even joking. A lot of AEW fans gravitated to that and started questioning a lot of, like, pro wrestling media people. And it got so fucking, like, it's so fucking stupid because none of this is real. None of this is real. And now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my God, everybody that goes to these WWE press conferences, they're kind of working for WWE PR and doing this. It's like, none of that is true. Like, I'm sorry, none of that is true. Like, these people said this thing, it's not true. It's not true. I love how everybody's like, yeah, no, it is true. Like, the fact that you actually came into some pro wrestling journalist and said, you work for WWE because you did X, Y, and Z. And it's like, and they have to defend themselves. Like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's sad. It's fucking sad. Like, I don't fucking, like, I don't get it. I don't get how this one little video turned into all of this. And it's basically, if you listen to the video with an open mind, an objective mind, you would see that these people were literally going, the reason WWE is as powerful as it is because somebody behind the scenes are pulling strings and making the wrestling media go this way. And it's like, that's so stupid. Like, why do you think Tony Khan gets bullied every week online? It's because it's like, no. You're making this up. Like, you're literally making this up. And you're supposed to be a reputable source making this shit up and putting it out there. And people are now biting on it. And I've seen so many, like, I've seen so many of my journalist friends get actually pissed off this week when people start coming to them asking them, so you're a WWE Shield. I know the truth. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, and these are people that are straight down the middle who are not, like, picking WWE over AEW. They literally watch both and celebrate both, and they're like, no. You work for WWE. And it's just, it's the dumbest shit. That's how easily a fan base can be swayed with one fucking video. Like, if the thing is, if you're looking for something to go, you know what, that's true, and somebody makes a video that gives you that, you just go with it. That's like 99% of the fucking country is literally, you see something and you go, oh, that fits with my bullshit narrative, so I guess it's true, and I'm going that way. And that's what happens.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I've seen that done multiple times. I agree with that.
And it's just so dumb. And it's like, I literally try to be objective and biased. And then when I see shit like this, it's like, no, now I'm leaning to the other side, going straight over here, because you're not being genuine. You're being disingenuous. You're saying bullshit and you're believing bullshit. So why should I even try to even think of going, you know what, I'm going to listen to you, when you're wrong? You're wrong. You heard something and you just went to a whole drastic side. It's like, no, that's why I usually just fall to like some weird where I'm going, you know what, I rep this company when I don't even want to, because it's just the way people make me. And that's it.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say about that, because I don't give a fuck about those people and will never bring them up. They fucking suck, because they literally have said on their podcast before, yes, I've listened to their podcast, they've literally said on their podcast multiple times before, I don't watch WWE. I don't watch that clown show. That is shit. I don't watch it. It doesn't appeal to me. It's like a fucking Muppet show. I will never watch that show. You can't make me spend 3 hours watching this crap show. We will never cover WWE. But then go on a tirade about how WWE is winning, quote unquote, the PR war because they have insiders making them do stuff. And it's like, why are you reporting on this if you don't watch WWE and you don't give a fuck? Just leave it alone. But enough said on them. Wasted way too much time on that. So we had Malakai Black finally call out Edge and said, listen, I want the TNT title. And
about fucking time.
Yeah, I'm all for it. The only thing that like pissed me off was like, it's on Dynamite. Like, this should be safe for a pay-per-view. But they said, nope, it's on Dynamite.
Like, the next pay-per-view is Double or Nothing. That's one of their big ones, I believe. Like, that's my opinion. Like, I don't know if that's correct, but still, to me, it's one of the big ones. That should be on there.
No,
what the fuck?
It definitely is one of the big ones. It's like their WrestleMania. So,
okay.
That's why it should be on there. I hope they have a better challenger for Edge on there, because I don't see him losing to Malakai Black.
Well, I hope like this match doesn't go down. Like, there's some fuckery and they have to have the rematch. Boom.
I hope so, because like that is a pay-per-view worthy match, but they just like put it on Dynamite. It's like, all right, whatever.
You almost said Rampage. If it was Rampage, I would be fucking like ranting on this shit, because that would piss me off.
Yeah. But like, shit, I mean, at least he called him out. We're getting a match. And then we had the return of Rey Fénix versus Black Taurus, which I don't even know his new name, which I'm not going to call him by.
Yeah. I don't like it. I know translated, it means dead beast. Not even bullshitting. That's what it's translated into. But like, I forget how to say it in Spanish.
The funny part, like, that makes a lot of sense, because if you killed off your old self, now this is the new version of you. You killed off Black Taurus, and whatever this is the dead beast. Is what you killed.
La Bestia Muerto, I think.
Okay.
But I think they call it, the Bestia Muertos.
So he's...
Like they try to make it English?
Yes. So yeah, the dead beast. I like it. I like it because he killed off Black Taurus and now he's the Bestia Muertos.
I don't like the mask.
I do, because like with the explanation, it makes sense because it looks like a dead bull.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like a zombified bull, and that's funny. Like, cause it matches. It's like, yeah, this is the dead bull. I'm the dead beast. So that makes sense. Okay. I like it. So Fénix beat him, which, I mean, of course he would, because this is Fénix's first match back in a long time. And, I mean...
But he did good, though.
Yeah, he did. After he got his ass beat for a while, he did good.
Yep.
And so, then we had Orange Cassidy in the back, and he was talking, and Chris Statlander comes up to him and says, hey, he needs us later. We need to help him. And it was very weird because it's like, who are you talking about? Who's the him?
Yeah. I texted you about that too. Like, why couldn't you just say Chuck? Like, that was suspicious.
Yeah, it felt really suspicious. And then when they had the match later, it still was a little bit more suspicious. Because I'm going to point out something mm-hmm. later that happened. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So then we had Rush return, and Rush picked up a win against some local guy. Like, that was cool.
I don't remember the guy's name. Like, I was desperately trying to think of it.
Yeah, like, he was just some local guy. Don't even know his name. So then it was at this point they said that Tony Khan is injured and he won't be able to travel. He's going to stay in Jacksonville, but he won't be able to travel with us to Dynamite or any other place, and we'll find out how this goes. And, okay. So...
Like, he's going to do everything remotely, I think the words were used?
No. They didn't even say that. Like, see, oh, okay. Here's a weird part where a lot of people have jumped to multiple conclusions. One of them is mm-hmm. because Kenny's going to be on the next show. They're like, maybe Kenny could be the general manager. But then the other one is maybe the Young Bucks just take over and run stuff until Tony comes back.
Yeah, I could see either or maybe both. Like, they feud over that shit.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know where this is going because I don't know who's on Tony's side. That's the only problem. Yeah. I don't know who's on Tony's side, so I can't be like, yeah, no, this is where this is going. Because it feels like this is really just thrown together and there's like nothing behind it. And that's why I'm just like, I'll wait and see. I'll wait and see how this plays out.
Yeah. Because on paper, it would seem like Kenny would be on Tony's side, but you never know.
Yeah, it's like, we just got to wait and see how this plays out. Because yeah. I feel like they want to go to Blood and Guts, but one, Kenny won't be able to go to Blood and Guts. So, like, that just leaves a bunch of open spaces on who's going. Because, like, it's just weird. Like, until stuff started making sense, it'd be like, okay, now let's see where they're going. And this is how I felt about that. So then we had Serena Deeb, and Serena Deeb showed up and said, hey, I want the title. Like, I want the title, and that's about it. Okay. So then we had Timeless Toni Storm versus Anna Jay. And it was something that happened in this match that made me go, okay, I like that. First off, Toni and Anna had a really good match, which I did not expect.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. I was very surprised that Anna Jay kept up with Toni. It was really good. So Toni knocked Mariah May off of the ringside by accident, and then she felt bad for her, which almost cost her the match.
Yeah. Remember when she started not to give a fuck about her in the beginning? Now all of a sudden, like, that's her child, she loves her and whatever.
Yep. Only because she sees somebody else wants her. That's it.
Oh, you're 100% right. I didn't think of that. What I was going to say is, like, you know Mariah's going to turn on her.
Oh, she definitely will. But I see this happening after the whole Forbidden Door when Toni beats Mina. Mina's going to disappear, and then Toni's just going to start. She's just going to stop acting cool with Mariah, and she's just going to leave her there. Mariah's going to get mad, and that's when the turn happens.
Kind of like, and probably not exactly, like, I thought you loved me kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. like a jaded lover.
Yep. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So then we got Chuck Taylor and Chuck Taylor's dog on the show.
Cute dog.
Very cute dog. So he was there, and Orange Cassidy was saying, hey, you ready for the match? He said, I don't have a choice. So then we got the Grizzled Young Vets, and a lot of people was like, I'm surprised they're going to AEW. And it's like, dude, their new theme song was made by Mikey Ruckus. And it's like, he's the AEW guy that makes music. Of course they were going to AEW.
I didn't know that. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So they fought the Acclaimed, and they lost to the Acclaimed, which I didn't see happening.
Right, because it's their debut match.
Yeah, and it just, like, it put a sour taste in my mouth that they lost, because I'm a huge Grizzled Young Vets fan. And with them losing, it just made me go, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucked.
But hopefully they get their win back eventually, or if they stay, hopefully they will stay.
Cause, they're not signed yet, right?
Yep. Because kind of officially, quote-unquote, they work for TNA, but they're freelancers as of now.
Okay.
So hopefully they settle in AEW and that's their place. I mean, I know we say a lot that there's a lot of people in AEW and they should cut back, but sometimes you just got to stick people in there and just say, fuck it.
Yeah.
So then we get Shibata, and Shibata's going to face Shane Taylor Promotions. And Daniel Garcia says, hey, I'll come out and help you. So I didn't even know this happened until the match went down. Because the match went from just a one-on-one match to a tag team match. Did not see that coming at all.
It wasn't even a one-on-one match. It was going to be Shibata versus all of them. Well, not all of them, because What's-His-Face was in the corner, but versus Tiger Style and Shane Taylor.
Yeah, but that felt weird. That felt very weird. Like, because they didn't say, like, they didn't give a specific. They just said they give Shane Taylor Promotions, but they didn't say he was facing all of them. It's like,
yeah.
They should have been a little bit more clearer with that.
Yeah, no, I see, like, why you would think it was a one-on-one match, because they didn't, like, specify. Like, maybe it was him versus, and then it's a, like, secret opponent, whatever, like a new member or something.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been anything.
But, yeah, that was a tag team match later on Rampage. So, yep. Then we got the main event of Collision, which was Claudio versus Swerve. And this match was real good. The fact that Claudio almost won twice, Swerve couldn't finish him off with the Swerve stomp. He had to make the house call the finisher.
Yeah.
Like that was really good.
I like the spot where, like, I forget what it was, but he was on the top rope, he being Swerve.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Claudio caught him. It might have been the stomp. And, like, yes, he stopped him, like, mid-air and, like, threw him up in the air and did the fucking, like, European uppercut.
Yes,
that it was. That shit was fucking nice.
It was a stomp. That was awesome. So, Swerve got the win, but after the match was where something happened, a lot of people didn't pay attention to this because Swerve wanted a handshake from Claudio. Claudio was about to leave. Claudio turned around and gave him a handshake. And Claudio, while he's giving him a handshake, he looks at Nana whilst he's talking to Swerve and says, "Watch him." And Swerve kind of glances back, and Nana's still dancing. And I was like, wait a minute, why did Claudio tell him to watch him?
Hmm. I didn't catch that. That's interesting.
Yeah, because that was, like, very weird. It was like, like, what made you do that? But yeah, that sets up that. So then we had the brawl, parking lot brawl. This wasn't a good one. This was not a good one. It was
Trent. It was okay. Like, I didn't like it much either.
Yeah, because I felt like one thing that didn't make this, like, good for me was because they're best friends, and I don't like that. But also, like, this match wasn't as violent and ass beaty as the rest of them. This one was just like
And you would think it would be because, like, as they pointed out, they've been in all of them.
For real, for real.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and, like, all those were brutal as shit.
Mm-hmm. I guess Trent was trying to hold back because you could still see it in his face. Like, at some points that Trent is, like, not fully a bad guy because he just has, like, this look on his face. Like, I didn't want to do it, but you made me do it type of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Trent gets the win, and then Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander comes out. But if you notice right at the end when he's threatening to break Chuck's leg, Chris Statlander gets him between Orange and Chuck. She gets him between them so he can't save Chuck. And boom, Trent breaks his leg. So,
oh, yeah, I seen that. I didn't think about it that way. That makes a good point. The fuck?
Yes, and then the worst thing in the world happened. They cut to the back, and Don Callis is watching this match.
New family member.
I hate it. Someone online asked, what is worse, the Don Callis family or the Jericho Vortex? And to be honest, they're both really bad. Really fucking bad.
Yeah, that's like choosing to get your fucking thumb, get hit by a hammer, or stub your toe. Either way, it fucking hurts.
Exactly. So then we had Kyle O'Reilly in the backstage. He was like, "Glad to see you back." He said, "I'm glad to be back, and I want to get some matches, But I didn't even hear who he said he wanted to fight, but he said he wanted to fight someone. Didn't catch it.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either.
So then we had Thunder Rosa versus Deanna Purrazzo, which was another good match. This was a really good match. And Thunder Rosa beat Deanna Purrazzo. But then after the match, Deanna Purrazzo beat the shit out of Thunder Rosa.
That might have been the match of the night to me, just for that fact.
Yeah, because like, turn. We all knew it was coming. We just didn't know when it was coming.
Yeah.
And this one was done perfectly because it was like you weren't expecting it at all. And then it's just like, boom, here it goes. Heel turn.
Yeah, because I actually was expecting it during the Rosa match with against Tony. Like her to actually like interfere, but it didn't happen there.
Mm-hmm. And then we got Roderick Strong talking about how he's going to beat Will Ospreay. And that was okay. And then we get to see Jericho watching as Big Bill destroys some guy with a choke slam. And he said, are you watching, Jericho? He's like, I'm going to sit under the learning tree. I got you. We're going to learn. I'm going to understand. And I'm just like, I don't care. Don't care.
You notice the commentators made such a big deal out of it? Like, he did so amazing in this match. Like, he faced a local guy.
Exactly. And the funny part is he was a tag team champion before. Like,
yep.
None of this makes any sense.
Basically. I don't get it.
Me neither. So then we had the main event, which was Shibata and Daniel Garcia versus Shane Taylor Promotions. And of course, Shibata and Daniel Garcia won.
Yeah. Good match. I liked it. Like, they went in on each other, so.
Yep. And Daniel Garcia had on black tights. They were saying he's just trying to be like Shibata, which, remember, if when he started, he was already wearing black tights. This wasn't nothing.
I was just about to say that. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. So
you could argue the fact he wants the match, but it's nothing now.
Basically. But like, day one, match is over. And
yeah,
it was good. Cause I'm a huge fan of everybody that was there. So
Danny was celebrating with the fans or whatever. Do you think there's something to that? Like, they focused on him a lot. Like, you think they're gonna give him something soon? I personally hope so.
Dude, we've been asking for them to give him something for a year straight. We've been asking. And they have gave him nothing at all.
Yeah.
Like, I have no faith at all that they're going to give him something. Because, like, he should have been the TNT champion. He should have been the international champion. He should have been something. He should have been something.
Yeah. Maybe him and Shibata become a tag team. They become tag team champions. I don't know.
I mean, if it has to go that way, then yeah. So, yeah. So now...
Yeah, because they made a good team.
Now we go to WWE because they had a draft. And I hate the draft. I hate the draft. I really hate it. It's really dumb. And so nobody gets confused. All of the draft picks and the draft stuff is locked after May 6th. May 6th, that's when everybody is locked in their permanent rosters. No more brand going back and forth. Because I know I'm going to see a lot of dumb motherfuckers going, oh, this person got drafted over here. Why are they still on the show? Nothing goes into effect until May 6th. May 6th, that's it. You're stuck on that show. You can't go anywhere. That's it.
Honestly, I wouldn't even bother pointing that out because people still gonna bitch about it. Like, it was clearly said multiple times.
Exactly. And another thing that I really hated about this draft was the champions on each brand are protected. You can't draft the champions. That's stupid as hell.
That makes it more fun when the champions are in it, in my opinion.
Exactly. Now you lock the champions into specific brands and they can't go anywhere. And it's like, that's dumb. That's fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Because, like, Backlash is before May 6th. So what if at Backlash, one of the champions lose their belt? They could have got traded to another show, but it's like, no, they're stuck on the show.
Yep.
Like, it made no sense. And then a lot of the picks that they made on the show also were really dumb. They were really fucking stupid.
You're talking about the ones that get picked and stay on the same show that they were already on?
Yes.
I hate that. That's like, that's my pet peeve for a fucking draft. Like, trade of champions, don't announce someone that's already on the show. Like, if blah blah's on Raw, you don't have to tell me blah blah's there.
Exactly. So it starts off with Paul Heyman. They're talking about Paul Heyman, what's going on with the draft. He says Roman Reigns has opted out of the draft. That is very suspicious to me. Because, like,
I didn't even know it was possible.
It's possible with Paul Heyman. So there could be a chance where he just is on Raw. Like, Roman could be on Raw if he popped up, because he's going to be a free agent when he comes back.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works. So then we have a contract signing between AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes. This was a weak ass contract signing.
I agree. I was gonna. If you would have asked me like how I felt about it, I'm like, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, this was weak ass contract signing. Nothing was said. Just AJ Styles said, "I looked up to your dad. Me and your dad was cool, and I'm gonna beat you for the title." And Cody said, "Well, I'm the champion. I'm going to be the champion, and I'm gonna beat you for the championship." All right. Okay. That just boggled my mind. It was like, there's nothing here. Like, they're going to have a good match. But it was nothing here that made me go, I really want to see this match. Like, next week, they better step it up and make me feel something. Because, like, right now, it's like, I really didn't give a shit.
I don't care at all. Yeah.
And, like, last week, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm super excited. As soon as they started talking, it was like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Sometimes you don't need a fucking contract signing. I'm going to say that.
Exactly. So then we get Triple H. He comes out and he stops Cody and he says, I'm going to make the first couple of picks. And you're going to help me. And okay, Cody's like, all right, sure. And the first...
What if I didn't want to help you?
Yeah, I mean, I wish he wouldn't have, because it was weird, but like, there's also symbolism in this. Like, he's going to be the guy.
So yeah, you pointed that out to me.
Yeah. So the first pick for SmackDown was Bianca Belair, which is a good pick, a really good pick. I was surprised.
But wasn't she already on SmackDown?
Yes, she was, which messed me up. And then Jey Uso was the next pick for Raw. And it's like, okay, he's on Raw too. And then the next pick was Carmelo Hayes to SmackDown.
That one was good.
Yes. And then Raw got Seth freaking Rollins, who was already on Raw. So then Melo did the most Melo thing he could. Melo showed up and he challenged Cody Rhodes to a match. And I know somebody out there is like, what do you mean he did the most Melo thing that he could? If you go back to when Melo showed up, after Melo was in the tournament, Melo said he was going to do Ruthless Aggression. And he got challenged. No, he challenged Adam Cole. That was his. That was the first big thing for Melo. And I remember coming on this podcast going, that dude's going to be really good. Because he had a match with Adam Cole because he challenged him. And he did the whole Ruthless Aggression John Cena thing. So him doing this to Cody Rhodes was like nothing new. It was just like the return to what Melo used to be.
You need to start your own promotion. You have an eye for talent. You always say that, and it always winds up being something.
Yes. Because it's just like little things that people do that you're like, oh my God, that person's going to be a star.
Yeah.
And then the really funny meta thing that like a lot of people don't know, that when Cody Rhodes was hurt with his bicep and he was getting ready to come back, the person he trained with was Melo.
I do remember hearing that. Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's like a whole meta thing. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. So can we see the LWO? And they're coming out. They're like, okay, we're going to come out later on. And we're going to do our thing. It's like, okay, cool. You guys are going to do your thing.
Carlito stands out like a fucking, like, huge fucking thumb next to, like, all those, like, short people.
Yep. Because we had Dragon Lee in the Rey Mysterio versus Legado del Fantasma, which was Angel and Berto. And, of course, yes. Dragon Lee and Rey win. They won the match. But then Santos come out and says, I'm not a liar. I wasn't a liar. And everybody's like, ha, you're lying. Because you're lying right now, you liar. And then Santos shows footage. He shows footage. And the footage is Carlito attacking Dragon Lee. Which is very funny because we all knew that that happened.
Yeah.
It was like...
It's just funny how he did it.
Yeah. And then he attacked him and ran off like a scared little dog.
Yep.
Like, to me, that was so fucking weird. Because he attacked him, then he ran off like, yeah, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And he's just, That's exactly how it was. I'm like, the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's fucking hilarious.
Like, that was so random. But yeah, like that, holy shit. But now Carlito's a bad guy, bad guy. So then we get Bron Breakker versus Cedric Alexander, and he kills Cedric in 5 seconds. We get.
And I said to you, I was like, I forgot Cedric worked here. And then after the match, I'm like, I think Cedric like just forgot that he worked there.
Yeah, because he got speared into 3 weeks from now. So then we have Tiffany stopping Nick Aldis. And she's telling Nick Aldis, listen, I want a title shot, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, listen, yeah, I know it's Tiffy time, but right now it's draft time. So it has to wait. And he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a match with Naomi tonight. If you beat Naomi, you get a shot at Bayley. But if Naomi beats you, she gets a shot at Bayley. And I was like, okay. That, like, we know where this is going. There was just a little twist that happened here that I was like, huh. But then, like, I looked a little bit deeper into it and was like, oh, that may be a thing also. We'll get to it when we get to the match.
Yeah.
But, like it was definitely something I was like, huh. So then we go to the next set of drafts by Michelle McCool and Tori Wilson. And SmackDown drafts Randy Orton. And Raw drafts Bron Breakker, who was just on SmackDown. So that's the first switcheroo. Then SmackDown drafts Nia Jax. Then Raw drafts Liv Morgan. So Liv staying on her show. Like, it was not really much of... The only two that changed was Bron and Nia. That was it.
Yeah, I'm okay with Braun going to Raw. He'll probably do more there.
Yeah. But after Nick Aldis did all of this to sign him a few weeks ago, now there's nothing.
That's a shame.
Yes. So then we get Paul Heyman, and he's waiting for Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. And Solo's like, wise man, why haven't we been drafted? And he's like, I, and then Tama comes up with a scary face. And then here comes Kevin Owens and beats up Tama. So that starts a fight that just lasts damn near the whole show. Because
they were about to beat up Heyman, though. Because Heyman was like, you keep adding members. And then like, that's when Tama walked up, like, oh shit.
But the funny part is, like, they're not done. So,
nope.
Then we had Bianca Belair come out to talk about how she was drafted first. Then the Kabuki Warriors show up. And then Jade shows up, and they announce the match that is Jade and Bianca going against the Kabuki Warriors for the women's tag titles at Backlash.
Called it.
Yep. So, like, as they're doing this, Kevin Owens and Tama Tonga just fight straight down the middle, right between the ladies. Then here comes Solo. And then Randy Orton comes out. So now it's Randy Orton and Kevin Owens to go against Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga at Backlash.
I'm okay with it.
I'm totally okay with that. Like, they need to beat their asses just because the bloodline needs to seem more dominant. They need to seem like the most dominant force than they ever was before. They need some real ass kicking. Like, yeah. So
that's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be great. So then we got the Dudley boys. Yes, the Dudley boys. D-Von and Bubba both. And then they did a thing which made me laugh because it wasn't the normal thing. It was a funnier thing because they pulled out their Dudley Boy glasses and they put them on. The funny thing about that is those glasses are usually have no anything in them. These glasses did because they're old and they needed to read the cards.
Oh, shit. That's funny. So they have custom ones then, I guess, because they're not supposed to have lenses on them.
Yep, they got custom ones. Because they looked at them, they couldn't see, and they put on their Dudley Boys glasses to read. And
oh, shit.
That's when they announced that L.A. Knight is staying on SmackDown, which is dumb. Ricochet is staying on Raw, which is dumb. Bloodline staying on SmackDown, which is also dumb. And Sheamus is staying on Raw, which is also dumb.
It's all dumb.
Yeah, I don't understand the point of the draft. They're just going to stay on a fucking show. It's like, it makes no sense. It's like, what are we doing here?
You know, I liked it better when they had the, I forget what you call it, but they use it a lot for the Royal Rumble when you pick out the eggs and all that.
Mm-hmm. The ball thingy.
I liked it better like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ball thingy. Where the general manager, whatever, would pick out the ball from the other show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would get that person's thing. Because, like, you were sure to get somebody from the other show. Now it's like, okay, I'm getting my own person. Yay.
Yeah, it's like they were just lazy with it. It was like, yeah, all right. Like, because to be honest, if they really wanted to spice up the draft, they just would pick everybody to random shows. And, like, that's it.
Yeah.
But whatever, because, like, this sucked. Then we had Tiffany versus Naomi, which was a match. And it ended when Nia Jax attacked Bayley. And my initial thought was
that pissed me off.
Me too. Because I was like, oh, they're going to do a four-way. But then people start pointing out that Nia Jax and Tiffany are friends. They're going to do some friend stuff. And it's like, oh, she could be her bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
Like, I would like that because Nia wouldn't be going after the championship and Nia would just be her bodyguard. And Nia would help her win the championship. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm good with this. Because we have...
It'll be like the Dakota and Raquel.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, no, I'm totally cool with that. And then, like, Nia turns on her eventually, which I don't think Nia will be a heel when she turns. I think Tiffany would be the face for some reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is just as long as Nia Jax isn't in the title picture.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
So then they talk to the Street Profits, because next week they have a tag title match against A-Town Down Under. And I was mad because I'm like, that should have been on the pay-per-view, but whatever.
Yet again, like, another fuck-up.
Yeah, it's like, the pay-per-view is like next weekend. You should just put it on a damn pay-per-view, but whatever. I don't even know how many matches is on this pay-per-view right now, but at least throw a good tag team title match on there.
I'll look right now as you go to the next match.
Yeah, that was like very weird. So then we go to Killer Cross, and Killer Cross and the rest of his team are just beating out someone or two someones. I didn't even know who the hell they were. They were just with two people. Oh, it was
the Catch Crew.
Yeah, No Catch Quarter Republic Part 2. Those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know why they have beef, but whatever. They got beef.
I think they did it just because, by the way, Becky so far has 5 matches.
Okay. So then we get another draft pick. We get Alpha Academy staying on their show. Okay. Then we get AJ Styles also staying on his show. But we do get a call up, which is Kiana James. She gets called up, and now she's part of the Raw roster.
That surprised me. Not because, like, she's not good, because, like, she's really fucking good. Like, with the Iron Survivor, like, she showed off. Like, what was that? A year? 2 years ago? But it only shocked me because nobody thought of that. Everybody thought, like, Roxy or this person or that person. Like, her name was never brought up. So when they said that, I was like, oh, shit.
Exactly. And I have a feeling she's going to be one of those NXT call-ups that you go, oh, she didn't do anything in NXT, and now she's a champion.
Yeah, that happens.
And then we got Andrade going to SmackDown. And then that, like, to be honest, literally called that the day he walked in the door. Was like, yeah, he's going to be on SmackDown. They're like, no, he's on Raw. No, he's going to be on SmackDown. And here he is on SmackDown.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, he's going to be back with Zelina. So, like, why not put him on the same show?
Exactly.
Plus, his wife is on that show, too.
Yep. Like,
as a male.
Like, it didn't make any sense. But, like, now it's like, okay, everything is coming together. It was like, all right, cool. So they announced the tag match that we already talked about with the Bloodline. That's a thing. So then we go to the main event. And there was one spot in this main event that I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Because they both had an idea to jump off of the rope and do something to the other, and they completely missed each other. I'm like, what the fuck was that? So, also, Cody was looking weird after this match. Like, I don't know if his shoulder or his neck, something is hurting him, and he pulled something. I know he pulled something. Because, like, even at the end when he was about to lift up the belt, he had to shake it off, and then he lifted up the belt. But, yeah.
Okay, that was going to be my question to you, because, like, I've seen a lot of discourse over that, right? Mm-hmm. Some people saying, like, he sold it because it was, I'm going to call it a botch, even though, like, he might have just sold it. It was a move there. I think when he tried to do the Cody cutter and he missed it. Or it might have been the spot that you mentioned.
Yeah.
With both of them, like, jumping each other. anyhow, like he missed and whatever, and like from there on is when he was hurt. Some people saying he was selling it. Some people saying he actually is hurt and they're scared for him. So you're saying like he might be a little bit banged up, in your opinion?
In my opinion, yes. Because if unless he's a really good worker, I think he was banged up.
Yeah.
Because like that move, like, because when he's about to lift the title, you see him just like kind of try to shake it off, and then he grabs the title and lifts it up.
Gotcha.
And then after the match, him and AJ Styles have a stare down handshake. Now, the funny part about this is whatever AJ was saying to him in that moment was way more interesting than whatever the fuck that fucking contract signing was. Whatever he said to him right there, I don't even know what it was, but it felt intense and interesting. And did he just like, did this, you were this close? AJ said you were this close. I don't even know what the fuck he was talking about, but all I know is like, you know what? I care about whatever the fuck he was talking about instead of what the fuck happened at that damn contract signing.
He could have jumped him. Like, I'm upset he didn't jump him.
Like, I was thinking that too, but like, we got 1 week away and it's like, all right, just let it simmer just a little bit. Just a little. But like,
yeah, I guess.
But like, holy shit. I was like, that felt more intense than whatever the fuck they had in the beginning. It was like, all right. So,
yeah.
Then we had more draft picks. We had Alba Fire and Isla Dawn going to Raw. So, I hope they do something with them on Raw.
Like they did jack shit with them on SmackDown.
Basically.
Oh no, they did something. They made them like lose their fucking like NXT tag team titles. True. And now those are no more.
True, which fucking sucked.
Yep.
Then we had the OC gets drafted to SmackDown, which they were already on SmackDown. It's really stupid.
Like what the fuck? Yeah.
So then we had Ivar get drafted back to Raw. Okay.
So stupid again.
Then we had Bartender Cabron get drafted to SmackDown. And I hope he does good.
Only thing upsetting about that is they separated him and Braun. Like I wanted the Wolf Dogs still together.
I know they kind of sucked.
Yeah.
So then Raw gets Shayna Baszler and Zoe Starks, which they were already on Raw. Like, the fuck? And then Shanti Beadonis and Cedric Alexander are part of SmackDown. So
yeah, like, they're a tag team, but correct me if I'm wrong, have they had a tag team match yet?
No. Not at all.
What? The fuck?
I don't know.
Because I think they'll be good together, but show me.
Exactly. So, other wrestling news, Nick Nemeth is now the AAA Mega Champion.
The fuck?
Yeah, Nick Nemeth is a AAA Mega Champion. That's so weird. So now he has a New Japan belt, a AAA belt, and possibly a TNA title match.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was just, like, out of nowhere. That was just randomly out of nowhere. He just won a title. It's like, hey, I won a title. Okay.
Good for him.
I mean, at least he's doing something outside of WWE, which is different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, wrestling is kind of weird. Like, it's getting weirder and weirder.
Yeah. Hopefully just like this week, next week, it gets better. I mean, it's probably not because Day 2, Monday.
Yeah, and also, Darby Allin got hit by a bus.
The fuck?
Yeah, no. That's as weird as that is. Darby Allin got hit by a fucking bus.
Like, you heard my reaction. Like, that's the first I heard of that. What the fuck?
Yeah, no. He was in New York, and somehow he got hit by a bus. Like, I don't know how he's still alive. Like, all of this shit keeps happening. I don't know how he's still alive. Like, this guy just keeps, he just keeps dying.
All right. Matt Hardy used to have this fucking, what'd you call it? This gimmick, right? Mm-hmm. Matt Hardy will never die. At this point, I think Darby Allin will never die.
Yes. Yes.
He's going to, like, wind up climbing Mount Everest, reach a certain point, fall, and then, like, wrestle the next week.
I believe it. I 100% believe it. Because, like, this guy just, nothing kills him. Not saying that I want him to die. It's just, like, nothing kills him.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
That's fucking crazy.
Oh, it's insane. So, yeah, this is a... This was a week in wrestling, I guess. But yeah, next week we're going to have more draft, more stuff, and more things about stuff and stuff. Any last words?
No more draft for a while, and unless you get that shit settled.